In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, the souls of the just of both the Old and New Covenants were sober and watchful during their earthly pilgrimage, and they were fully convinced that everyone has to suffer in this present life. They never sighed and moaned as though they were the only sufferers. They did not assume the attitude of victims. They called it holy resignation. And they took each trial as it came, without talking to everyone about it. And they quietly and joyously united it with the sufferings of Christ. The gradual of today's Mass encourages us also to confidence. Let the faithful soul cast all his care upon his heavenly Father, for has he not always graciously heard him in all his troubles and necessities? Let us now apply this confidence to the way we approach our Lord. Should a subject in a secular setting, that is, a court, for example, a subject who has rebelled against an earthly monarch, go into the presence of his sovereign to ask pardon, the prince might instantly banish him from his sight and not even condescend to look at him. But God does not treat us in this manner when we go with humility before him to implore his mercy and forgiveness. The Lord God is merciful and will not turn away his face from you if you return to him. God cannot turn his face away from those who cast themselves at his feet with a humble and contrite heart. And Jesus himself has protested that he will not reject anyone who returns to him. Him that cometh to me, I will not cast out. But how can he reject those whom he invites? He himself invites to return and promises to embrace. In another place, he says, "Sinners, I ought to turn my back on you because you first turned your back on me. But be converted to me, and I will be converted to you." With what tenderness does God embrace a sinner who returns to him? This tenderness Jesus Christ wished to declare to us when he said that he is the good pastor, who as soon as he finds the lost sheep, embraces it, and places it on his own shoulders. This tenderness also appears in the parable of the prodigal son, in which Christ compares himself to the good father, who when his lost son returns, goes out to meet him, embraces and kisses him, and as it were, swoons away through joy in receiving him. God protests that when sinners repent of their iniquities, he will forget all their sins as if they had never offended him. In the book of Ezekiel, he says to us, "But if the wicked do penance for all the sins which he hath committed living, he shall live and shall not die. I will not remember all his iniquities that he hath done." Now, in talking about repentance, necessarily the subject of confession comes up. And I tried to think of the best way to sum up this point I wanted to make. I remembered a rule given by a priest I once knew. At the risk of sounding a little bit glib, this good priest called his rule the rule of the three B's. Be brief, be blunt, be gone. If, in other words, confession does not need to be, and usually should not be, a drawn-out affair, it's generally better when it is not. If you are in need of unburdening your soul of its pains and cares and trials, and this is necessary for us, but it is best to do so before our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. He can comfort you far more effectively than any human words can. If you truly are in need of spiritual direction, make the time to contact the priest and request it. You have every right to, and this is his sacred duty. It's true that priests are usually pretty busy, but it's important that they be busy with the things that really matter, like guiding souls. In the sacrament of confession, however, let us be mindful that we are there for the purpose of having our sins remitted, and that efficiency and avoiding unnecessary details is to be praised. Now, questions can come up, which is fine, but let us remember that when the priest gives the penitent the little monition, that is, a bit of advice after the sins have been avowed and before the penance is assigned, the absolution is pronounced, it's just that. It is a monition from the priest. It's not an invitation to a dialogue. Thus, respecting the true purpose of confession, we will benefit most fully from the graces they are received. And to show his mercy and grant pardon to sinners, God regards as redounding to his own glory. Therefore shall he be exalted, sparingly. The book of Isaiah, chapter 30, verse 18. Holy Mother Church teaches us that God displays his omnipotence in granting pardon and mercy to sinners. O God, who manifested thy omnipotence in sparing and showing mercy. So do not imagine, dearly beloved sinners, all of us, that God requires of you to labor for a long time before he grants you pardon. As soon as you wish for forgiveness, he is ready to grant it. Behold again what Scripture says, weeping thou shalt not weep, he will surely have pity on thee. You shall not have to weep for a long time. As soon as you shall have shed the first tear through sorrow for your sins, God will have mercy on you. At the voice of the cry, as soon as he shall hear, he will answer thee. And the moment God will hear you say, "Forgive me, my God, forgive me," he will instantly answer and grant your pardon. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.